you've got the first pig who builds his house out of straw, and then the next one builds it out of sticks, and then the last one builds it out of bricks. And the big climax is with the wolf, the big bad wolf at the end, trying to get down the chimney. And with the Hebrew story structure, it's quite different because the punchline actually comes in the middle. Now, this is something called a chiasm that Zach will know all about, because it's something that we've been looking at in our life group Bible studies. And I found this really helpful when approaching the passage this morning, because it's really jumped out to me what the central point of the passage is all about. Now, unfortunately, the slides aren't working, but I have got some backup paper, so that's good. Oh, brilliant. If you could go on to the one after that one. Lovely. And the next one. Okay. So the central point that we've got jumping out for us here with the chiasm is Paul talking about the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. So he starts off, if I could have a volunteer to hold a lovely piece of green paper for me. Do you want to come up? That would be lovely. Thank you. So he starts off talking about a bit of the context of the time. So there was Jewish Christians who were saying that the only way that you could be saved was through circumcision and through following the old law testaments in the Old Testament. But Paul was saying that actually these Jewish Christians had got faith the wrong way around, because we are saved through grace, through the grace of Jesus Christ, not through actions that we carry out for ourselves. And Paul goes on to say that, well, if anyone, out of anyone, could boast, it would be me. And if we have a look at Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. This is something that Dan picked up on when talking about Paul in Philippians 1, about his zealous approach to his faith as a Pharisee. And Paul here is saying, like, I've got the best credentials. I'm the creme de la creme. But despite all of that, I count it all as loss. So if I could have another volunteer, please, to hold a lovely piece of red paper this time. Thank you, Simon. If you could stand. Can you move down a little bit, please? Thank you very much. Okay. And again, he repeats that he's counting all things as loss. So if I could have someone else to come and hold some paper. It's literally all you need to do is hold it. Thanks, John. I'm a primary school teacher, so you can see where this is going. Right, so the central point that we've got here from Paul is for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So this is our climax. Lovely piece of blue paper. If I can interest anybody in coming to hold it, that would be great. Thanks, Margaret. Don't worry, Dave. I've got another piece you can hold if you want to. Okay, so the verse we've got here mirrors the one that John's holding. So Paul was saying, I count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he moves on to say he's already counted that loss. So he's acknowledged that he's going to count things as loss, and then he's actually put it into practice and counted all things as loss. So Dave, if you'd like to come and hold this, please. Okay, so we should see a bit of a pattern forming here. And then in Philippians 3, verse 8, it says he counts them all as rubbish, all his credentials, all the things that say, oh, this is how great I am. He counts it all as rubbish that he may gain knowledge of Christ and be found in him. So if someone else would like to, thank you very much. And here we can see that that is like a symmetrical image of the red verse that Simon has. When things were gained to me, I counted them lost for Christ. So the gain that he has in the world, in the world's eyes, he counts as loss, rather for having the gain that he has in Christ. And then the final one is looking at the righteousness from God by faith, rather than the righteousness that he's gained through the flesh. So you can see how these verses through the symmetry of the first and the final verse, and then moving along, really highlight that one that Margaret's got, the real importance that Paul is wanting to put in, like neon lights and highlight and underline and bold font and everything, to show us that the excellence of knowing Christ is worth everything. It's above everything. So thank you very much to my volunteers. Thank you. Okay, so if we can move on. Lovely. So here we've just got that key central point in the verse from Philippians. So, for his sake I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So I was wondering about this, and when I was chatting with Janet yesterday, she said, well, what could we do to know Christ better? And this is where I want to hand it over to you guys a bit more. There's some paper dotted around with some felt tip pens. What I'd like you to do, working in groups of about 4 or 6 people, is have a think of what could you practically do over the summer to strengthen your core, to strengthen your knowledge of Christ. Paul has said that that's the key thing. It's the thing that we really need to grasp hold of, but how can we put legs on it? How can we practically do that? So I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to think about that, and then we'll pull it back together. If we have any nice music, Johnny, in the background, that'd be nice. All right, okay, I'll stop it there just to give you a few minutes, if I can bring you back together. And I'll get my glamorous assistant to come and give me a hand now. So, Owen, if you could wander around and see what ideas people have got for how we could actually practically get to know Christ better.
Reading the Bible and Christian books.
Cool. Being a good friend, in practical ways, i.e. having meals together.
Spending more time talking to God.
Brilliant.
Take captive of every thought.
It's a challenging one.
Giving time to be in God's presence. So kind of how you start the day can influence the rest of the day. practice in the presence of God?
Fasting and prayer.
Meet him in other people we come across on our way, and in having honest conversations that we don't normally have because we don't know these people too well.
Spending time with whoever it is, and it's called quality time, and of course reading the Bible.
Right, Martin says paddle boarding. And I say, going surfing in the sea without a wetsuit, because you have to trust God that it's not going to be too cold.
Deal with distractions.
Owen, could you repeat that one?
Dealing with distractions. Apparently Tom's got a really good one.
Oh.
Is it eat, sleep and read your Bible?
Okay, thank you very much for all of those suggestions. We're going to move on now to look at the second part of Philippians 3. Okay, and whilst Paul recognised his need to count all his credentials, all the worldly things as lost, he also recognised that he hasn't quite reached that stage yet. He's not reached perfection yet. If Johnny, if you could move on. Thank you. So in Philippians 3, verse 12, Paul goes on to show us that he's not quite achieved that. He's still working towards it. So he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And just having that, seeing that heart that Paul has to strive for the continual knowing of Christ better, because I don't think we could ever get to the point where we completely know Christ in all his fullness and all his glory, and that is a continual process that we're working towards. So this is another example of a chiasm here that I've had to put over two slides. I'm not going to go into as much detail with this one as I did with the last one, but just so you see, this is another key point that Paul's really pointing out to us, really underlining and highlighting. So, Johnny, if you could move on, please. And again. Okay. I quite like all these pretty logos and slogans and things, so I thought I'd slip some in. I thought, when I was thinking about this, It made me think about the Commonwealth Games, and I'm not a particularly sporty person, but I have quite enjoyed watching some of the Commonwealth Games this year, and one of the participants that really stood out to me was a swimmer called Ross Murdoch, who was swimming for Scotland, and it wasn't expected at all that he would do well in his 200-metre breaststroke race. Because he was swimming against another Scotsman called Michael Jameson. And Murdoch had never beaten Jameson in a final. And in fact, last year was the first ever international experience that Murdoch had ever had. And he'd finished 11th in one race and 30th in the next. So, you know, the hopes of Scotland were probably high for Jameson, but not so much for Murdoch, based on his former experiences. I really loved his face at the end there when he realised that he'd won. He'd kept pushing on. He'd ignored the fact that he'd not done so well the previous year, and he just kept pushing on with his swimming and doing the best that he could. And you could see that he was not expecting to get that gold. He was not expecting to achieve that. But just the joy that he had in getting there, it was incredible. And I think for us that can be a real encouragement in our faith, that sometimes we might feel that we're not really getting there, that we're maybe not living up to this challenge that Paul sets us of setting everything else aside as lost for the joy of knowing Christ. But actually, we just keep going, keep doing all of those things that you were thinking about earlier in your little groups, and we'll, you know, keep striving towards that. And you never know, one day you might end up with a face like Ross Murdoch's. Okay. Right, so just coming towards the end then, there's two key points that I'd like to really highlight from Philippians 3. If we could go on to the next slide, Jenny. So Philippians 3 verse 8, so everything else is worth it when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then secondly, pressing on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me.